Saleh, and this is Living History. This show explores the rich heritage of the Brandywine Valley outside Philadelphia, focusing on the people, places, and events over more than 300 years, which have played an important part in our American heritage. Each show highlights a local town, event, or personality who's had a notable influence on our culture. And before we get started, I want to remind our listeners that we have a call-in line. That's 610-701-9243. 610-701-9243. This day in history. In 1838, an artist displays his creativity and uses his ingenuity to develop the first electrical system for communication across long distances. Samuel F.B. Morse demonstrating his newly developed telegraph for the first time at the Speedwell Ironworks in Morristown, New Jersey. In 1912, the land of enchantment is added to the Union as New Mexico becomes a state. The region of breathtaking vistas offering ruggedly beautiful desert scenes, later becoming a favorite of artists including Georgia O'Keeffe, and even some seekers of otherworldly visitors as UFO adventurers in the late 1940s flocked to the area near Roswell. And in 1996, the Great Northeast Blizzard strikes from Maine to down below Washington, D.C., with wind gusts up to 50 miles per hour, 32 inches of snow falling in Providence, Rhode Island, 30 inches in Philadelphia, and huge snowdrifts paralyzing traffic in several major cities along the eastern seaboard. Encompassing 760 square miles of rolling hills, dotted with dairies, horse farms, and majestic sycamores, the Brandywine Valley acted as a crucible for events that changed the course of American history. From Spring City in the north to Landenburg near the Mason-Dixon line, Chester County is one of the three original counties established by William Penn in the new colony of Pennsylvania back in 1682. The area quickly attracted thousands of immigrants from Europe, including many Quakers, who over the subsequent decades settled in the area due to the fertile soils and many swift-flowing streams which offered the potential for water-driven mills. Chester County has made notable contributions to history over more than three centuries, being the home of three of the signers present at our country's inception, Thomas McKean, James Smith, and John Morton. Its mills along the Brandywine produced flour of such high quality it was called Brandywine Superfine and shipped around Pennsylvania and throughout the colonies. Our paper mills supplied Benjamin Franklin's print shop and provided material upon which the Declaration of Independence and our continental currency were printed. The attractive countryside became the home of numerous famous personalities, including the composer Samuel Barber, folk legend Jim Croce, who died way too young, and the world-famous Wyeth family of artists. Local industry had the first female CEO of a major steelmaking corporation, Rebecca Lukens, flanked by the neighboring Phoenixville Ironworks, which produced Griffin guns that fired the first Union cannonade at the Battle of Gettysburg, along with girders called Phoenix Columns, supporting thousands of structures across the country, including the Washington Monument. The Chester County Historical Society has a mission to preserve our local heritage, hosting scholars and researchers for decades, as well as providing numerous fascinating exhibits and historical and cultural displays. Today, our guest is David Reinfeld, acting president of the Chester County Historical Society, who's here to share some of his thoughts on preserving our local heritage. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Gene.
Why don't we just start with a very, very brief history of how the Historical Society got started.
Sure. So we were actually founded in 1893, so we have a 123-year history of preserving and stewarding the collections of Chester County. Basically, a group of local residents during that time frame felt it was necessary to start collecting artifacts. And 123 years later, we are still around doing the same thing that they envisioned.
I know you've had some really impressive exhibits over the decades. I know several years back there was one on the Underground Railroad in Chester County. A lot of our listeners may not know that southeastern Chester County was a hotbed of abolitionist activity leading up to and during the Civil War. Maybe you could talk about a little bit about some of your favorite exhibits over the years. I know you've been with the Society about, what, 6 years now?
6 years. Yeah. Excuse me. For about 6 years now. So one of my favorite exhibitions is actually our most recent one, dedicated to the 1960s. And if anybody knows me, I was actually born in 1979. So I actually am one of those individuals that love the 60s from an arm's length. And I just fell in love with how our exhibition team merged politics, social reform, art, culture, literature into this amazing exhibition presented by Wilmington Trust and M&T Bank into a year-round exhibition and a symposium that's going to take place in April of 2016 this year.
Excellent. I lived through the 60s. I was a young boy, but I know it as a time when creativity exploded. I mean, music, art, a lot of different areas just brought forth some really fascinating works. What kinds of things are in the exhibit?
Sure. So my favorite is actually a Star Trek doll. So it's really interesting how when you go downstairs into Horticultural Hall, which is one of two buildings that we own and operate that was actually built in 1848, the lower level is actually dedicated to more than 2,000 square feet about the 1960s. And it's actually important to say that it's not just the 1960s. It's 1954 to 1974, so a 20-year time span. And it's showcasing, you know, as I said, furniture, art, literature, politics. It's really great to see how really we recycle fashion and really social politics, and we're still fighting the same issues that they fought in the 1960s, even today.
Mm-hmm. Interesting that you've got a wide range of things there. Just curious, in terms of music, what kinds of things do you have related to music?
Sure. So basically, we have a whole one of our dedicated volunteers put together more than 300 songs that talked about the 1960s during that time frame. So when you go downstairs, not only are you getting that visual experience, you're also getting that experience through song and literature.
Mm-hmm. When I think of the 60s, I think of the Beatles.
Of course.
You can't think of the Beatles without thinking about the 60s. I assume the Beatles are in there somewhere.
The Beatles are in there somewhere. However, as you may know, this is all about Chester County history. So unless the Beatles, you know, somewhere in the history came to Chester County, I'm not sure how they would be represented.
Mm-hmm. Now, the wide range of really exceptional creativity displayed during the 60s is really mind-boggling. I mean, art, in addition to music, politics, TV shows, plays, movies. What kinds of things do you have related to, let's say, art or plays and movies?
Sure. So basically, when you go downstairs into Hort Hall, the 1960s really showcases really just the fascination that we have with art and literature because of the Wyeth family that really was synonymous with Chester County. But when you really want to think about art and literature, people are going to really be fascinated by our planned exhibit that's coming up in November of 2016 with Adrian Martinez. And we're going to be showcasing the life of Humphrey Marshall, a renowned botanist to Chester County, in 12 to 13 large-scale pictures in partnership with our collections. So the painting actually will showcase the life of Indian Hannah, Humphrey Marshall, different people that really made Chester County prosperous, and therefore we'll also have our collections on display next to the painting.
Not many people may know that Humphrey Marshall had a town named after Marshallton. If you've ever been to a place called the Four Dogs Tavern or the Marshallton Inn, you know that name. Indian Hannah was reputed to be, I'm not sure that it's ever been proven, but reputed to be the last of the Lenape Indians. I know there's a little bit of dispute as to whether that's the truth or not, but she was around the area for decades, and I believe, died in the early 1800s.
Correct. Yeah. And we pride ourselves on partnerships. So we bring in partners. So, for example, we are partnering with the Humphrey Marshall Committee, the Humphrey Marshall Preservation Fund, the 1675 Foundation, to really showcase this exhibition. And we're always looking for additional partners and funders, as well as organizations that would like to really partner with us when it comes to lectures and content development.
Interesting. One additional comment about Humphrey Marshall. I think he was one of the best-known botanists in the colonies, and I think he even may have interacted with people like Thomas Jefferson and others, Benjamin Franklin, who liked to collect plants and grow different species. So that's an interesting link to our local heritage. You know, I mentioned the Underground Railroad exhibit, which was here at the Society several years back. To me, there's a fascinating link to slavery, to Abraham Lincoln, right here in Chester County. Not many people know that the Quakers were very active in the Underground Railroad. Some local historians know this well, but a group called the Longwood Progressive Friends down in Kennett Square was very active in the Underground Railroad, actually met with President Lincoln in June of 1862, just shortly before he started crafting his Emancipation Proclamation. So there's a direct link with slavery, emancipation, and the Civil War right here in Chester County. So it's an interesting link for people who want to delve into our local heritage. I am going to ask one related question about things that people research at the Society. I mean, I'm sure you get a lot of people come there and say, well, God, I'd like to do research on, you know, my family or this local aspect of history. What kinds of things do you typically get requests for there?
Sure. So our librarians are amazing when it comes to visitors and hobby historians and scholars. So it's a great place to do genealogy research, research on individuals that were really synonymous with Chester County. And, you know, I'll go more into that when we come back from the break, I guess.
Sure, yeah. We're going to be taking a quick break, but before we go, I'm just going to mention for our listeners on the radio, stay with us. We're going to be talking about the society participation in notable events, different personalities associated with the society, special projects, and future plans and expansion. Right now, they're undergoing a big dig, which is kind of revamping the collections and high-grading it. So stay with us, and we'll be back right after this break. I'm Gene Pasale, and this is Living History. Today we're speaking with David Reinfeld, the acting director and president of the Chester County Historical Society. I want to mention one thing, which should be obvious, but Chester County Historical Society is in beautiful downtown Westchester, Pennsylvania, and it is a wonderful society with excellent exhibits. I must give full disclosure, I am a member and big supporter of the Chester County Historical Society. But David, there's a lot of things to talk about. One thing is that's undergoing change right now is the building itself, the Big Dig. Let's talk about the Big Dig.
Sure. Well, actually, the Big Dig is not a physical change to the building structure. And it's important to say that we are 56,000 square feet in the heart of the borough. And we have an amazing rental program where people can come in and rent the facility for different events and special occasions and corporate meetings. The Big Dig was actually, this is year two. It is a project that allows the library to really close itself down for the month of January and focus on really cleaning up its projects, refiling, organizing itself, really coming to terms with priorities that really weren't addressed during the current year, to really really focus its efforts.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense, and it's basically an ongoing method of improving the overall collections and then the library and things that you have there available to the public.
Most organizations with a genealogy research library do have this common practice of closing down in January to really restructure itself.
One thing the Historical Society does, which I think is fascinating, is something called History on Tap, where you bring in local speakers, authors, historians, other people who'd like to talk about topics of interest. Tell us a little bit about History on Tap.
Sure. So History on Tap is entering its fourth year, and this was the creative brainchild of Rob Lukens, who unfortunately and sadly lost his battle to cancer this year. It is generously supported monitored by BBNT as well as WCHE 1520 AM. And History on Tap, as Gene said, takes history topics and puts it into local bars and restaurants in a forum where people can hear a presentation on a historical topic for about 20 to 30 minutes. Very sort of town forum where you can raise your hand, interrupt, drink a beer, go to the restroom, answer your cell phone. It's just a great way to bring history topics to the local community. And this month we are exploring a History on Tap program, if we can find a location in Chester County, that talks about the founding of the Slinky that took place in Chester County.
Interesting. And, you know, I have a lot of topics I like to talk about. Perhaps I'll even be a speaker in the series coming up.
You're more than welcome to join in.
The museum is, to me, fascinating. The museum at the Society covers over 300 years of Chester County history with more than 80,000 artifacts and mementos highlighting European settlement from the late 1600s all the way up to the present day. This collection was first established in 1893. Tell us a little bit about the museum.
Sure. So a lot of people are surprised when they think of a historical society. They think that we're in the lower level of an old Victorian home with leaky pipes. Well, we actually saw the leaky pipe situation several years ago. But being that we are in the heart of the borough, we actually have more than, as you were saying, 80,000 objects dedicated to Chester County and more than 500,000 manuscripts dating back to the 1700s in the library itself. And basically, right now, the Historical Society is going through a permanent gallery reinstallation effort that will address more than 6,000 square feet of our galleries to make them more multi-sensory, more hands-on, more tactile, more talking about the story of Chester County from its founding up to more modern-day topics than currently that's in place. So what you see today in 2 years will be vastly different.
Excellent. I've actually served on the board of some local organizations, including the Christian Sanderson Museum down in Chad's Ford. Anybody who knows Chad's Ford knows right up the street from Hank's Place is a place called the Christian Sanderson Museum, and they have hundreds of artifacts and letters from Civil War veterans, things like that. I'm sure the Historical Society here in Westchester has dealt with the problems of keeping manuscripts fresh and safe and in good shape. How do you do that effectively? Do you have to upgrade your air conditioning system every 10 years, or how does
that
work?
So we actually, several years ago, went through a humidifier control upgrade to the collections, and basically that was generously supported by several foundations and individuals. And it's actually important for me to say that the permanent gallery project is a $3.7 million project for the organization, and I'm proud to say thanks to our community supporters and our members and individuals like Eugene and your family, we actually have raised more than $2.8 million in less than a year and a half towards the project. And a major portion of that goes towards the gallery reinstallation effort, but also visible storage. And visible storage will take about 1,000-plus artifacts and put them in one centralized location in the building so people can actually experience more of our collections and get more educational information on them when they visit us.
That is excellent. It's extremely important to preserve our local heritage, because once it disappears, that's it. It's gone. Documents from the 1600s, 1700s, even into the 1800s, often are quite fragile. They need to be displayed accurately and safely, and this requires an enormous amount of work and effort by the staff there. So I completely respect everything that the staff there does. In terms of collections, one thing people may not know is that you got 10 of thousands of photographs dating back to the, 1840 or so. Tell us a little bit about the photographic collection.
Sure. So our photo archivist, Pam Powell, is amazing, and she's been with the organization for more than 30 years, and that is dedication right there. And she has really upgraded the techniques with preserving our photo archives and basically created an immense photo collection for the organization, thanks to the donations that the community has provided to CCHS. And basically, it's just amazing to go down there and see photographs from the 1840s up to modern day. So if you have any photographs, you know, think about, you know, giving them to CCHS to really keep in perpetuity.
Now, when people donate photographs, do you ask that they be dated or give location, all the kind of background information?
More information is always helpful.
In terms of research, I'm sure a lot of people, notable scholars, authors, local historians, come to the Society to do research. I have done research there myself. Can people just request a search of the database and say, hey, listen, I'd like to have somebody back me up on this? How do they approach the Society to do research?
Sure. So basically, first and foremost, I'm going to say become a member of the organization, because that provides you access to the library as well as the museum and various different special events that take place throughout the year at discounted prices. You can electronically or by mail send in your requests, or you can visit us, and as I said, become a member, or you can just come in for $6 a day and really just enjoy yourself in the library, and the librarians who are on staff really dedicate their time to helping the people that are there.
Excellent. And by the way, anyone who does surfing on the internet can just put in Chester County Historical Society. It will bring you right to their website. We have a variety of different options to look at their research capabilities, their collections, their programs, exhibits, and a lot of other great information. One thing that I often get in my lectures is questions on genealogical research, people requesting data on their family tree. I know that you have a link with the local Chester County Archives. Could you tell us a little bit about genealogical research?
Sure. So basically in the 1980s, we partnered with the County of Chester to really create the County Archives. And that is run by three amazing individuals and volunteers. And basically, in partnership with the Chester County Historical Society, they are more known for wills and bequests and land deeds and more of those government-type documents.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to just very briefly mention that if people have an interest in a past exhibit, like the one on Chester County in the Civil War, the Arctic Explorers, you can, even if you missed it, you didn't get a chance to see it, in years past, you can actually contact the Historical Society, and the staff will actually give you a little bit of information on the exhibit itself. Is that correct?
We can. In addition, we have an amazing Speakers Bureau program that really talks about some of the exhibits that took place from the Arctic to the Underground Railroad, to the Revolutionary War, to Passmore Williamson. So there are various different topics on our website that our staff really are known for doing in the community.
Excellent. One thing that's a favorite of local antique collectors is the Chester County Antique Show, which is coming up in April. Tell us about the Antique Show.
Sure. So we're entering our 34th year, and this is actually my 7th Antique Show with the Chester County Historical Society. It is on April 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. It's presented by PICO. We have four amazing show chairs, Basil and Colleen Friends and Dale and Susan Friends, so it's family-run this year. We have 40 committee members, more than 52 dealers that focus on 18th and 19th century visual and decorative arts. And it's sort of a traveling museum where you can go spend several days. You can interact with the dealers. You can hold artifacts, and actually, you can purchase them.
Mm-hmm. I've actually been to the Antique Show a couple of times. It's absolutely wonderful. I just wondered, when people go to the Antique Show, do you ever get people say, "Hey, listen, I'd like to donate one of my antiques from my great grandmother," and
we do
have it as part of the show? Or
we do, but it's not that type of a show. It's actually an opportunity for the community to purchase antiques in one central location, and basically, we have antique dealers from the New England area to the Bible Belts of the United States, and it's really interesting just to have a diversity there. And in addition, if you like lectures, we have two lectures that are coming up during the Antique Show that take place on April 2nd, and just go to our website and find out more information on the show.
Excellent. And then regarding antiques, I don't know a lot about antiques. In the past several shows that you've seen, what's the most interesting thing that you've noticed or seen at the antique shows, or what sold that was of a special interest to some of your guests?
Well, I still remember my first antique show. There was an apothecary box that I fell madly in love with, and as I kept getting closer and closer, more zeros kept getting added to the box, and I said, for my nonprofit salary, there's no way that I could afford this. But it's important for me to say that you don't need to spend a lot of money to enjoy yourself. There are items that really, are entry level that allow you to get, opportunities for the antique show itself.
Very good. Thank you so much, David, for joining us. Be sure to join in next week, next Wednesday, the January 13th at 1 p.m. Eastern, when we'll be speaking with Bill Brunner, the director of the Springford Historical Society Museum up near Spring City, Chester County. Thank you so much for joining us on Living History.